Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today, here to talk to you about any of your legal questions, any of your legal matters. We are the firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been doing this show for at least 20 years, every single Saturday morning from 7 to 8, to talk to you about your legal matters. We are normally in our real lives, in our legal lives, we're personal injury lawyers. We handle personal injury claims. If you've been hurt as a result of the negligence of another, as a result of the acts of another, we're here to help you. That's car accidents. That's slip and falls. That's any kind of other personal injury that you may experience. Give us a call. We're at Bell and Pollock at 303-795-5900. Champions of the People or bellpollock.com. But if you have a question today, it's about anything. I don't care if it's about a traffic matter. I don't care if it's about a family law matter. You can give us a call here. It's a call-in show, 303-713-8255, 970-457-1009. For those of you in Steamboat, you should give us a call, and we're happy to talk to you about whatever might be going on. And what advice you might need. If we can't give you the advice, we'll find somebody who can, or we'll research it, talk to you during the week, have our lawyers at our office will look up your question and give you a call. We'll take your number, but we're happy to help out. We try to do this as a service for everyone to understand their legal rights and what goes on. And so we're hoping to be able to handle your questions today. You can call us at 303-713-8255 or 970-457-1009. Bob, how are you doing today? You know, that's a good point. We have a Bob was talking about the fact that he's doing good today.
I'm glad we're in Florida. We're not in Florida, Brad.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're not in Florida right now, folks. And I want you to think about our brethren in Florida. You know, I was listening to the radio on the way in, and somebody talked about the fact they're driving away from their homes with what they can hold in their cars or what they can carry with them, not knowing if they'll ever see what they're leaving behind again. And if they do, what kind of condition it's going to be in. And, you know, I think we all too often think, well, it's going to be covered by insurance, but it's not covered by insurance. And a lot of it, if it is covered by insurance, you don't get full recovery. So there's a lot of loss that can be experienced.
That's true. You know, even driving around here in Denver, you know, I had a client that came in and got the car sideswiped, only to find out they didn't have the right coverages.
Yeah, you have to have the right coverage on your insurance. And, you know, the first thing and a very important thing is you need to call up and you need to, your insurance agent, you need to see what kind of coverage you've got. For those of you here in Colorado, do you think you have your flood damage? Do you think you have coverage for any kind of flooding in your home? Next to fire, flooding is probably the most devastating damage or amount of damage you're going to experience in your home. And do you have any coverage? And if so, what kind of coverage do you have? Is it related to groundwater? Is it related to a burst pipe in your house? Is it related to a sewer backup and overflow? And does your insurance cover it? And if you're sitting right here right now thinking, I don't know if my insurance does or doesn't cover it, it's time to get on the call, pull out your policy, look at it. If you can't figure it out, call your insurance agent and say, explain this to me and tell me what kind of coverage I have. And when the insurance agent tells you what kind of coverage you have, confirm it in a letter. Send back a letter to the insurance agent saying that you've got some kind of coverage or you don't have some kind of coverage, and this is what you told me I have, and this is what I'm relying on, and I assume it's going to be fixed.
You know, Brad, sometimes even when you think you have coverage, you know, it does not affect your recovery. For example, if you had you're in your house and you have a ice maker in your refrigerator, and it has a chronic leak and it drips and it just continues to drip and it ruins the floor and the walls, probably not covered. And the same thing with the ice maker hose, blows up, explosion, pops off, floods the floor, it might be covered. So, you know, the little nuances in the insurance that you need to be aware of. Same thing with, you know, they define groundwater as one thing, water coming from outside the house into the house, or groundwater can also be is a case where the water leading into the house, the water main in the house busted, and it came out from underneath the slab. They called it groundwater. They didn't cover that. So it's, you know, you're at the mercy of your insurance policy.
So you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. You know, and here in Colorado, you've got questions also whether the damage caused by the weight of ice or snow or sleet on your roof, is that covered? Is hail damage covered? If so, what is the hail damage coverage? A lot of times it's actual cash value versus fair market value versus replacement value. So they start talking about what it costs to whether or not you're going to have to put some money in. Is it replacement value with depreciation added in? And you don't know if you have these coverages. So you want to pay attention to that. Also, let's talk a little bit about what I'm sure has happened a little bit. Kids are going back to school. I'm sure they've been back to school for the last couple, 3 weeks. Most of them started sometime in August. Are you carpooling? If you are carpooling, I want you to answer this question for yourself right now. I want you to think, okay, I'm carpooling. Somebody's driving my kids around, or I'm driving somebody else's kids around. Have I ever asked once to whether or not the person who's driving my children has insurance? If there's carpooling, do they have car insurance? And if I ever ask them, what kind of car insurance do they have? Are my children protected? Now, if you're out carpooling, if you're out driving somebody around, let's ask the next question. Did you ever check your policy to make sure you have coverage for those people who are riding around in your car? Big question, Bob.
Well, I certainly hope that you carry enough MedPay to protect the people in your car. MedPay is medical protection that provides you with, usually it's $5,000. Some insurance companies sell $25 or higher. And what that is, it's medical coverage that goes, that's primary to your own insurance. So if someone in your car did not have any medical insurance, they'd have at least a pool of money to help them, you know, get the care they need. And $5,000 is the minimum. And you have to actually sign away, you know, if you don't want, you have to refuse. Sign a paper from the insurance company. And there are times where they say they refuse. You know, we'll help you with that. You know, if they say that you don't have MedPay, we'll help you figure that out, because sometimes they say you don't have MedPay, and you might, because you have to affirmatively sign away your rights for MedPay.
You can call us at 303-713-8255. We're going to go to the phones. We have Gail in Pueblo. You have a bank loan issue. Gail, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good. What can we do for you?
Okay. I had a revolving loan that was for 5 years on a house, and I put up the house for security. And that note came due, and I still owed money on it. And they turned around and they said that I tried to renew that loan, and they said no. So they said that they were going to send me a letter where they were either going to put it into foreclosure or they were going to turn it over to collections.
Okay.
And I never got that letter. They turned it over to.
Okay, Gail, we have to go to break. Can you hold with us over the break, please? Gail, I hope we didn't lose you. You're on a cell phone. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk to you. If you stay on the phone, please stay on the phone. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Lines are open. We'll be right back to hopefully talk to Gail. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio. You can call us at 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, call us at 970-457-1009. We're here to answer your questions, talk to you about what your issues are. Gail, are you there? Okay, now here's what I understand. We were kind of going in and out, but you took out a five-year loan that ended up being an equity loan against your home.
It was a line of credit loan, yes.
Right, an equity line of credit. You've used, obviously you drew on it, you used some money on it. You were paying the loan back, and as you were paying the loan back, something you didn't get the payments made and they said they were going to foreclose, or what happened?
No, the loan came up due at the end of the 5 year, and I didn't have enough money to cover what was still owed.
Okay.
So they said that they were going to turn that into just a loan and to pay it back.
Okay. They should have offered you equal terms, a 5 year loan at somewhere around market rate or slightly above market rate, depending on your credit standing. Did they offer you that, a 5 year loan, so you could make monthly payments?
Yes.
Okay.
And they turned around and they said that I had too much debt and that they were not going to do that for the loan. They turned me down for that loan. So therefore, they said that they were going to send me a letter saying that we're either going to let you foreclose or we're going to turn this over to collection on this. I never received that letter. And so therefore, they turned around, and this was due in July. And so I have been going back and forth with them through August and now into September as well as July. And they didn't give me that option. They just turned it over to collections. Well, in the meantime, the regular bank is sending me letters saying that you didn't make your payment on your loan.
Right.
Now you're 2 months behind, and we've tacked on $80 and then $90 for the next month in interest.
And are they threatening foreclosure on your home?
No.
Okay. All right, so they've charged you the late fees for failure to make the payment, although you were supposed to be getting some kind of workout deal that they were supposed to be giving you as far as turning you over to their collection department to be able to do a workout.
One bank is saying that we still have you as just to pay back the loan, and then collections is saying we want the payment in full now or we're going to foreclose.
Okay.
That's where the confusion for me is.
Okay.
I don't know what they're doing.
I can understand your confusion, and I'm going to want to see your paperwork. So before we get off, we are going to want to get your number so we can have somebody call and we can see your paperwork. Do you have your paperwork? Do you have access to your to the promissory note you signed and the deed of trust you signed?
No, I don't. They have the deed as collateral at the bank in Nebraska, and I'm in Colorado.
Okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to we'll call you this week. I'm going to keep you on the line here in a little bit and talk to you a little bit about, but we're going to call you this week and get the necessary information to allow us to look at your loan documents, because quite often what the terms of a loan are and what you're entitled to and what you're not entitled to and the protections are written in the loan. But normally, these standard loan type of workouts, these home equity line of credit, and that's what you have. You have a home equity line of credit.
Right.
The line of credit is secured by the home. You have 5 years that you can draw on the line, and you can pay back, and you can make your regular payments. And your payments are going to be reflected by your draws, how much you borrowed. If you got $1,000 borrowed, it's going to be less on your monthly payment than a $5,000 loan. But you can adjust it back and forth. Once the time period ends for the draw period, then what there's normally, and I can't imagine yours would be any different, then they have to give you they shut down your ability to borrow any more money, but then they have to give you an equal amount of time as the face amount of the line of credit, which would be 5 years here, to be able to make monthly payments to pay it. Your note will identify what the interest rate is. Normally, it's going to be an interest rate at or near what a second line of credit would be, because I'm sorry, a second mortgage would be, because you've got a lien on your house that protects it. We have to. It sounds like that you have just a standard type loan of this type, and you know what happens in that kind of situation is they can't do all this other stuff they're doing to you. They're supposed to work it out with you. They're supposed to work it into a loan. This is with the bank, or is it with a lending institution?
It's with the bank.
Yeah, so I don't understand what they're doing or how they're doing it, but obviously somebody's going to have to talk to them, so we're going to talk to them about it. I do want to, I want you to get the money together to make at least the payments on the monthly payments that they sent you. The late fees, we'll argue with them and we'll talk to them about it and discuss whether or not they should assess late fees. But I want you to have the money for the rest of it ready so we can make a tender of that money. And so we can tender it and say, here it is, and we can explain why the payments haven't been made. Bob, you see a different take on this?
I think that's a good strategy, Brad. I think we can help her.
Yeah, I think we can help you, and I think that, somebody's messed up over at the bank or at the collection agency. They're playing a little bit of strong arm with you on something they can't do. So I think we can help you, but what we're going to need is we're going to give you a call on Monday, and I want you to get any and all paperwork you've got together over the weekend. Get everything together, because we may need you to go somewhere and fax it to us or to scan it in your computer and send it to us by email. We're going to have to get it from you somehow. So we can look at it. So you gather all that information, gather those notices, gather those monthly payments, gather anything they've sent you, get it ready for us. So then when we give you a call on Monday, we're able to deal with it. Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. And I think we can probably help you on this one and slow them down. All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your help.
It's our pleasure. We'll help you. I'm going to put you on. And by the way, the fact you have a bunch of other debt, I'm not so sure it matters. They have a secured line of credit, and now they got a secured debt. So what they got against the home should be enough. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have Kevin get your name and number, and we'll give you a call, all right?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We do have lines open, 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat Springs, it's 970-457-1009. Lines are open, but right now, we're going to go to Mike, and we're going to talk to Mike about Mike. It says you got a fender bender question.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
I guess I don't know if this matters anymore, but this is just my own feedback and curiosity experience. This happened in September 15, 2015. We were taking my kid to Catholic school. This was on a Sunday morning, and we're pulling into a parking lot, and we see a vehicle that's backing out of this parking spot, and so we figure, I stop and let him back up so I can take the parking spot. But this guy just kept on backing up, and he hits my vehicle, winds up breaking one of my fog lights in my vehicle, and the damage was $500.
Okay.
Or $600, which I wound up paying out of my own pocket. I took pictures of the fender bender, and try to make a long story short. My insurance wound up saying that it was me that was at fault. I didn't understand how did they come to that reasoning when I took pictures. The guy apologized for the accident. I took his information. I submitted pictures to my insurance company, and they still came back at me saying that it was my fault when I did nothing wrong. So I don't know what happened there.
Did this guy have insurance of his own?
He did.
Why didn't he turn over to his insurance as opposed to your insurance?
What was the question again?
Okay, normally it would have been turned over to his insurance, and he would have, and his insurance company would have called you up and arranged to pay for your car, because it sounds like you ended out having to do a $500 deductible when the damage to your car got paid.
Okay.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I did contact his insurance as well. And his insurance, the lady that wrote me back a letter saying that they were not going to pursue. It was an arbitration for a little while, and then they finally came back saying that that I was at fault. I had called my insurance, and I had asked them what do they think the outcome was going to be. They said it was a pretty good possibility that we were going to win the case, but as it turns out, it looks like I lost. And his insurance wound up saying that, that's you were at fault, and that was the end of it, I guess.
Okay, it went to arbitration, you said?
Yes.
Okay, and was this some kind of voluntary arbitration that somebody suggested or asked you guys to go to?
My insurance suggested that.
Were you involved in this arbitration, or was it between the two insurance companies?
Between the two insurance companies.
Okay, that's intercompany arbitration over which you don't have any say or control, and that, you know, you're not bound by anything that happened in their intercompany arbitration. That has nothing to do with you, and can't have anything to do with you. Mike, we got to go to break. Can you hold through the break?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio. We got lines open, 303-713-8255, and Steamboat Springs, 970-457-1009. We're going to talk to Mike when we get back, then talk to Connie about some problems she's got. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in studio today. We're going to go right to the phones, but first we want to talk about a place where I believe they got the best pancakes in town. Eric, how you doing over there?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you still? You got a lot of pancakes out there?
Absolutely. Scratch-made buttermilk pancakes, they are the best in town. And while we're on the subject of food, I'm going to run by our specials for one more week. We're going to run the breakfast special. That's what we're calling the Abney Omelet. Now, that's a two-egg omelet. We're going to fill that with diced bacon, sautéed bell peppers, diced tomatoes, guacamole, jack and cheddar cheese. Serve that with hash browns, of course, on the side. You get your choice of toast or tea or pancakes. I do recommend those pancakes on the side with that. And our lunch special for the rest of the week is going to be a double-deck sandwich. Now, that's going to be whole wheat griddle with cheddar cheese, green chili, guacamole, bacon, smoked turkey, ham, cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomatoes. Now, you can get our waffle-cut fries or our homemade potato chips on the fries for $1.25 more. You can also get that made into a wrap if you like. That seems to be a popular option for the lunch special. We're going to run that for the rest of the coming week. And then don't forget, on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2, we do an all-you-can-eat taco burrito buffet. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. It's from 11 to 2 every Monday, every Friday. It's only $8.45. That includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. You cannot absolutely beat that. Our scratch-made red and green chilies are out there on top of that, as well as our carne adobada, so come and check that out. The umbrellas are up. The carafes of mimosas are only $12.50. They're already flowing, from what I can understand. TVs are on. We got lots of sports on Saturday to come down and check out. So tons of things to see at Caitlin's. Please come down and see us.
The Southern Bowl, Eric.
Absolutely. Bacon, sausage, and gravy. A little bit of cheese on that. A couple eggs of your choice. Can't beat it.
Hey, Eric.
Pancakes.
Hey, Eric, what about my gluten-free bread?
And we do have the gluten-free. We have gluten-free multigrain bread. We're working on a gluten-free pancake batter. Haven't quite got that down yet, but the gluten-free bread is available. So tons of things to come on down. Come on down. We got the deck open. Bring your dog. Bring your kids. Love to see you guys down here at Caitlin's.
Oh, I'm coming for pancakes, Eric. I'll see you in a little bit. Okay,
absolutely,
buddy. Take care. Thank you. Y'all get out to Caitlin's. It's Mississippi and Carter Boulevard, just a little bit east. It's a great place to eat. And I really, you go down there, best pancakes in town, and you don't need syrup for those things. They taste so good. I want to make sure we talk about the Larry and Barry show, the real estate show that comes on after us. You want to listen to those people. They know their stuff, and they can take care of you with respect to real estate. It's important that you know what's happening to your real estate and to your investments. Listen to Larry Barry, and then after that, you got Ken Moon coming around the house. I can't stop listening to Ken Moon. I've been listening to him for years, and I make sure I know what to do around my house. Even a lawyer knows how to do some repairs to his house. Mike.
Hi.
Welcome back. We're talking about a fender bender, where you had some damage. You said you had to pay about $500-$600 out of pocket. The first thing I want everybody to realize, and we've talked about this on shows now, then, that there's different rules that apply in parking lots. And Mike, you did the perfect thing when you got out and you took photos and you checked where the area was and you let it so it can be relived and we can see what happened. Okay.
Yes.
The other thing you did is you called, it happened in September 2015. So you're within the statute of limitations that we can address it. That's important. The next thing is the intercompany arbitration among the insurance companies has nothing to do with you. That's the insurance companies trying to decide who's going to pay. Now, was the total damage $500 to $600 on your car, or was that just what you had to pay?
That was the total damage.
Okay. So we're at a small claims court matter that we'd be talking about. But, you know, what I'm saying is that if you were stopped and you were in clear sight and you're going down the lane the proper way, and you're just waiting, and this guy keeps backing up, and hits you, then I don't understand how anybody would say it's your fault. Bob, you know, I can't see a problem here.
Well, yeah, I don't understand why they just didn't pay it. What's your deductible? Is it $500?
Yes.
And Mike, with regard to your car, when it all happened and stuff, did you give recorded statements to the insurance company?
I did.
Do you know if the other person gave a recorded statement?
I believe he did as well.
Okay. Well, this makes no sense on why, based on the way you've told us the accident happened, why they're not paying for it.
I did have a witness, a bystander that happened to me, kind of like just standing by there. It was like a Sunday church, you know, event going on, and we got people there. And it so happens that there were several witnesses, but this one witness offered a phone number and everything to say just, you know, to witness what he saw.
You know, Brad, if he calls and I can help him with this.
Okay. Mike, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get your name and number, and we're going to give your name and number to Bob. And Bob, this week, will call you off the line, off the air from our offices, and we're going to set you up on how you can recover your money, okay?
Thank you.
Make sure, once again, as I said to the previous callers, make sure you have all your paperwork. You can talk to Bob, but let's put you on hold, get your name and number. And Bob, you say you'll call him. You're going to call him this week, right?
We'll call him this week, and I'll try to get in touch with the insurance company and see if we can figure out what the issues are and why they're not paying where it sounds like they should be paying.
All right, Mike.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, 303-713-8255 in Denver. That's 303-713-8255. And in the Springs, it's 970-457-1009. We're going to stay right with the phones. We're going to talk to Connie. Connie, you live in Colorado Springs. You got something about your home?
Yes. We live in a beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood, but we are in a very uncomfortable situation currently. We moved in about a year ago and signed a 2-year lease with the option for a third year. And the agreement, the owners live out of country and are acquaintances of ours. So the agreement was there is a basement apartment with a separate entrance in our home. The agreement with the owners were that we would allow them to stay in the basement apartment periodically when they would come back for business meetings. And our understanding was that would be maybe once a quarter. So what's occurred now is we were here for 6 months when half of the family moved back into the country and into a basement apartment. And 2 to 3 months later, the entire family is now in the basement apartment. The arrangements were never discussed with us. We just kind of actually heard it secondhand that they were moving in and not leaving. So now we're sharing a house. And again, it is a separate basement apartment, but we're sharing a house with typically there's 4 to 5 people, but over the summer there's been up to like 10 family members in this 2-bedroom basement apartment.
What was did you sign a lease with these people that talked about this basement apartment?
Unfortunately, so in the lease, there is no mention of a basement apartment, but I do have communications. I have emails and messages from them that spelled out what they would like to do. But unfortunately, none of that is mentioned in the lease.
Okay. The lease, though, will identify what we call the demise premises, and it should identify the premises that you're leasing.
Okay.
And one of the questions would be when you look at the lease or when you look at it, is the description of the premises that you're leasing, is that a description for which you have does it describe the entire house or describe the basement apartment also? And it's excellent that you have your other paperwork, and it's going to be necessary. It's going to be absolutely necessary. But what we're going to start with is lease and finding out what the description of the premises are that you're leasing. If it includes that basement apartment in its description, and it doesn't have to specifically say the basement apartment downstairs, but if it gives an address and that's only one address, or if there's some way that we look at it and we say, wait a minute, that's the entire place, and including the upstairs and downstairs, then you're in a situation where they can't just send anybody they want to go live in the basement. You know, and if you have then emails and documents that say, wait a minute, it's limited only to these people coming back, mm-hmm. and not Uncle John and Aunt Mary and their five kids and my cousin Mark and all these different people that can come and go as they want. They can't do that. They can't just send anybody they want. It's a unique and it's specific as to them.
So are they expecting you to pay the utilities? Are you sharing utilities with all these people in the house, or how does that work?
It's divided into two. So they're paying half of the utilities currently, and we're paying half.
You mentioned something, this was a lease to purchase?
No, it's not. It's just rental.
But my concern is how much longer on the lease?
We have, let's see, until July. So what's that, eight more months.
And you've got until July, and then you have the right to renew it for one more year?
Right.
Okay. And it sounds like you love the property and you'd like to stay.
Yeah. It's a great neighborhood.
All right, Connie. We're going to have one of our lawyers sit down, and we may have to make demand. I want to look at all the paperwork, and we're going to have one of our lawyers call you this week to help you out. It's probably going to end up, is there a leasing company that's doing this, or are they doing it from outside the country or from their location?
Well, they're currently all in country, so they're just doing it themselves.
Okay, so when you pay the rent, you send it to the owners, you send it directly to them?
Yeah, we deposit it into their bank account, yes.
If there's a problem with the property that they should be paying for, you contact them and they take care of it?
Yes.
All right, yeah, so they don't have a property manager, so let's get all your paperwork. Hold on. We'll have Kevin take your paperwork, and we'll get right back to you, okay?
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, Connie. Nice talking to you.
You too.
Take care. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk to Martin in Boulder. And you can call us at 303-713-8255 from Steamboat Springs at 970-457-1009. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Bob Leonard in the studio today, talking to you about your insurance needs or your legal needs. We have an insurance question from Martin in Boulder. Martin, how you doing, bud?
Long time no have speaks, guys.
I was going to say we were missing
there,
you,
Martin.
Buddy.
You really did?
Yes, we missed you.
That makes me feel wonderful.
I thought it would. How you doing, man?
Hey, I've got a friend. I was in his living room yesterday, and he's 70 years old, and he was involved in a rear-end car accident, a real low mile per hour. He stopped in an intersection because there was a pedestrian going through a crosswalk. Of course, the pedestrians have the right-of-way, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And there was a big Dodge Dually with a cattle guard that rammed him and pushed his car about, I saw the diagram by the cop's diagram, on a police report, and it pushed his car about 20 feet, so it was a good impact.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was driving a Subaru, a relatively new Subaru, and the bumper took the brunt of the force. And he was uninjured, he thought.
He thought.
Anyway, it happened in Louisville.
Okay.
And what happened was he was also ticketed because it was a new policeman, a new hire.
Okay.
And he went down there, complained, and the sergeant looked at it and said, I'm going to waive this ticket. You should never have gotten a ticket. So his ticket got nullified.
Okay.
But the other person was ticketed.
Okay.
Well, the person also represented to the officer that he had full insurance on his big Dodge Dually that hit my friend.
And he didn't.
He did not have insurance.
Yeah. Great.
I was sitting in Jim's living room yesterday looking at him. And all of a sudden the phone rings and he gets a call from an insurance company, presumably his.
Uh-huh.
And the lady, I guess an adjuster, wanted to take a recording of a statement.
Okay.
And I looked at him, I shook my head and I said, no, brush her off.
That's right.
So anyway, he's been going down to a urologist because after the accident, he's been pissing blood.
Oh, that's not good.
And he thinks it's because of his age.
But the triggering event, it sounds like, can very well be the accident itself.
Well, that's what I was just thinking that. I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jim, you didn't have this before.
Right. That's.
And, you know, I watched him walk into the bathroom when I was in his apartment or his townhouse yesterday. And, you know, he was having difficulty. He went to a urologist, and they're waiting for more tests. You know how they do that.
Right.
And his next visit is October 20th of his urologist, which is quite a ways away.
Yeah, if he's urinating blood, that's if there's blood in his urine, that's
well,
a problem.
Well, they did a test yesterday, and they did a blood test, and nothing came through. So it's not an infection, but they're going to look at him in about a month's time. So
yeah.
But they were not determined why he was urinating blood.
You know, that seatbelt maybe crossed the.
There,
I never thought of that.
There could be a seatbelt. It could be a problem. The big problem we've got here is it's got to be checked. And, you know, you're describing, Martin, as you know, because you've got some background in this stuff, the classic thin skull doctrine. We've got a 70-year-old man, so he's more susceptible to injury. He's more susceptible to being injured in a car crash.
Is that the eggshell?
Yeah, the eggshell, thin skull. And so he's more susceptible. And so, you know, this kind of crash, although it sounds like it's a lot worse than what it sounds like the reason the car didn't have as much damage is he must have had his foot somewhat off the brake and it knocked it forward rather than damage the car. But, you know, that kind of blow, being hit by somebody pushing your car that far, can cause injury, especially to a person who's more susceptible because they are up there in age.
Well, I'm going to see him this morning, so I'm going to advise him or just suggest to him that he should just go to some ER room or something.
Well,
it sounds like, you know, he probably has medical insurance through Medicare, but also he might have MedPay, his auto policy, to cover.
Oh, that's right.
Any visits to the doctor.
So, yeah, you've got to get him to the doctor.
Several years ago, you helped him out. He got T-boned in a little Honda of his.
Okay.
And so he's got a filing with your firm.
All right. Well, let's see if we can't help him again. Are you going to try and get him to a doctor today?
Yeah, and in fact, I'm supposed to have breakfast with it or brunch or whatever they have. You know that senior center? Remember that?
Yep.
You know the drill.
I know the drill. I'm aware of it. I've been there. I helped him out.
Small world, isn't it, Brad?
Yes, it is. You know, but here's what we'll do. Let you see what you can do with it, and I'm going to be out of the office Monday morning. Can you call me Monday afternoon and let me know what comes of it?
Will you talk to me?
Yes, I will. You give me a call. I'll talk to you.
What about you, Bob?
Okay. I'm not so sure, Martin.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Yeah. We'll talk to you.
You're not doing bad, Martin. You got one of two of us that'll talk to you.
Boy, I thought I was striking out.
Yeah. So why don't you give me a call? See what you can do to get him in. And if he won't go, give me a call so we can line him up with some doctors who can look at him and talk to him and make sure he's okay. Find out if there's a result of any injuries. Obviously, you still want to talk to him, Martin, and make sure he's doing all right with respect to any neck, back issues he might have also if he's starting to feel sore. And
yeah, well, he's part of that lunch crowd. You remember the...
Yes, I remember the lunch crowd.
The old guy around. And,
oh, yeah. I remember that whole group. That's a nice little area up there, though. It's not a problem.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if I fit in, though.
You know, if he is really having problems, he needs to get to a doctor. He shouldn't wait till October. It's October 22nd or something?
Not at all.
But it just happened that the phone call came in, and some gal asking to have him do a recorded statement, and I just shook my head and just brushed her off, which he did.
That's exactly. We don't want to record a statement right now. First, we want to talk to him and make sure he understands what's going on, understands what he's doing and why he's talking to them.
And don't sign anything. Don't send any medical releases.
And this isn't trumped up stuff either. I watched it.
You watched him. He's in pain. He's urinating blood. He's got blood in his urine. We need to help the man and see what we can do to make sure if it's caused by the crash that we get him fair compensation.
Well, I'll find you guys next week then.
All right, buddy. Talk to you Monday.
Bye-bye.
See you,
Thank
Martin.
You. Thanks for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to have about a minute and a half to talk to Joe. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, I just didn't know if you guys had read that article on the front of the Westword this week or not, about the homeless millionaire.
I was walking by the thing coming in the radio station and saw it but didn't have a chance to read it. Fill us in real quick.
Well, it's just about a guy that got a trust, and then different attorneys took over the trust, and kind of ties into what they sentenced that guy in Las Vegas this couple days ago, that Robert Graham, you know, because he had ties here. But he admitted to taking the $16 million, and then all the people that had the trust that were disabled in wheelchairs and stuff couldn't get their money. And he had ties to Colorado because his wife lived in Fort Collins, and he had an office there, Linda Graham. And he also dealt a lot with the public service out of Jefferson County. But
how long did he get?
He admitted to it. He gets sentenced in January. It might tie in funny, too. The guy that was convicted of Eddie Tipton that was fixing the lottery, and his brother was a judge out of Texas, and they were cashing the checks in Colorado.
Right.
Well, he got like 30 years, and his brother, the judge, got 75 days. So it's and then I think Tipton's thing got appealed and thrown out. So,
you know,
I think the stuff's fixed.
You're an excellent conscience of the community as far as what's going on with respect to a lot of these trusts and how they're being handled. And we have a lot of people who are, in essence, just stealing from these estates.
It's an eye-opener.
It sure is. Joe, we got to go now, but give us a call a little earlier next week and we can talk more about this. I'm going to get that article and read it this week, all right? Thanks for listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. You've been listening to the Bell and Polk Legal Show. We're here every single Saturday morning to talk to you from 7 to 8, take your calls, talk to you about legal matters, try and help you through whatever legal matters you've got. In our real lives, in our actual lives, we're personal injury lawyers. We'll handle your personal injury claim. You can call us at 303-795-5900, championsofthepeople.com, bellpollock.com. You got the Larry and Barry Show coming on right after us. Listen to them, learn about real estate. And if you have any kind of injuries, if you know anybody who's been injured, if anybody needs help with their personal injury claim, give us a call and let us help you put together your own legal game plan. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
And don't forget to read our blog in the Sunday paper.
The proceeding was a paid advertisement. The opinions, viewpoints, and promises made during the preceding program are not those of KHOW, its staff, management, or parent company, iHeartMedia Incorporated.